May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Along the Columbia River Valley, there is a well-worn path. It's a hike just east of Portland, Oregon, on the Oregon side of the Columbia River, one that I try to do at least once a year. A couple of years ago, a wildfire threatened to destroy it completely, and so now you can see the occasional patch of charred tree stumps as you climb up and up, switchback after switchback, all the way to the top. The destination of the hike, a precipice overlooking the Columbia River, is called Angel's Rest. And from Angel's Rest, you can look out across the river to the Washington side of the Columbia. And from the top, you can also gaze east and west of that mighty flowing river as it cuts the landscape of moss and ferns and evergreens in half, the Oregon side on one end and the Washington side on the other. I couldn't help but think of that spot today after reading the 84th Psalm. Today, the psalmist also imagines a climb to a holy place, a climb to the Lord's temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. But the resemblance between these two images ends there, where in Oregon, you get to take a pleasant walk through a lush green landscape. The psalmist walks through dry, arid, and unforgiving terrain, through the desert highways of the Middle East, the valleys and hills leading to Jerusalem. Where in Oregon you usually hike in the fog and the rain, the psalm's pilgrims traveled under the hot desert sun. Where I can make most of my pilgrimage to Angel's Rest on planes and automobiles, with the comfort of climate-controlled cabins, neatly packaged pretzels and nuts, with the assistance of all the technical gear that REI has to offer. The pilgrims to Mount Zion back then, thousands of years ago, had none of these modern conveniences. Pilgrimage, in the world of today's psalm, connects the pilgrim to the land and the land to the pilgrim in a way that we can't ever really fully comprehend. Pilgrimage, for the psalmist, is an intimate experience of the highways and byways to the Lord's house. And this effort, this painstaking endeavor, is something that the pilgrim longs for, a longing that seems to be just as much about the journey as it is about the destination. Happy are they whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's ways, reads the Psalms. Happy are they whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. I like a slightly different translation than the one found in today's bulletin, the translation from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Happy are those in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Happy are those in whose heart are the highways to Zion. What does it mean to hold the highways to Zion in our hearts? What does it mean to long for not just for the presence of God, but for the journey into the presence of God? What does it mean to value this journey just as much as the final destination? Now, let me be the first to admit, I am not always in it for the journey. I am not what you call the patient type. I like getting things done. I like crossing things off my to-do list and moving on to the next thing. My friends and colleagues will tell you that I do procrastinate from time to time, but that's mainly because I like the pressure of a deadline. It's not a good habit, I know. I'm just trying to give you a sense, a full sense of just how hard I have to work to sit still, to value the various twists and turns of the journey as much as the destination. It takes work to be patient, to appreciate the process as much as the final result. It takes work to sit with circumstances beyond our control and do the very little we can to make things better. It takes courage to do that in a world that just isn't just or fair. It takes work to sit together with people whom you don't know or don't like and to build consensus before taking action. It is hard work to be in it for the journey as much as the destination. And the frustrating thing about the Bible, my friends, is that the story of the people of God is filled with detours, mired with challenges, and prone to setbacks. But to be the people of God, to live into our call as the people of God, means becoming accustomed to such switchbacks and setbacks, keeping the course in the face of challenges, holding steady even as the world seems to be falling apart at the seams. And the beautiful thing about God's story in the Bible isn't that things will always go our way, but that God will always remain faithful. God is accustomed to making a way out of no way. God is used to drawing people together to bring about a just and more loving world. God is patient. God walks with us as we make our way through the highways and byways to the promised land. Even when the days look dark, even when the way is uncertain, even when the prospect of justice and peace seems like a far-flung dream, God remains close. God is with us in this journey, not just waiting at the finish line. And God wants to work in and through you to bring faith, hope, and love into a world that is desperately in need of it. If this was God's way with the people of Israel, with pilgrims in the war-torn Middle East thousands of years ago, with Mary and Joseph refugeed in Egypt, with Simeon and Anna, old and gray, waiting day after day and year after year for the promised Messiah to be revealed amongst them, why would it be any different now? I don't know about you, but I've been a bit discouraged this past week. We've begun an election year with a bitter impeachment fight in Washington, and survey after survey that I read says that the kind of division we're experiencing right now is unprecedented. And yet, what I'm encouraged by day after day, my friends, has little to do with those currently in power or any one candidate vying for office. It has little to do with celebrities or self-help gurus or whoever happens to be on the news on any given day. What I'm encouraged by, my friends, is that there are people in this world who have committed themselves to love God and to love their neighbor without exception. There are people, imperfect people, people who make mistakes just like you and me, people who tend to the sick and needy as best they know how, people who decide to pick up the phone and call just to say hello, people who cook meals for those overwhelmed by life circumstances or overjoyed by the miracle of new birth. What encourages me on weeks like this is you. The way that you care for one another right here and right now on the highways and byways of life. And what I wonder today as I try to remember to hold the highways to the Lord's house close to my heart is whether we will give up hope once and for all or trust in the God who has been here before. A God whose love is stronger than the world's deepest hatred. A God whose justice rolls down like waters and whose righteousness is like an ever-flowing stream. A God whose unflinching allegiance is first and foremost with the world's most vulnerable. Another way, another world is possible, my friends. So won't you join us on that journey? Will you walk with us as we try to build it, as we make our way forward together? On Sunday, May 31st, about 2,000 people will get together to announce an agenda for change in this county, in Wake County. And on that Sunday afternoon, and I give you permission to pull out your phone or your agenda right now to mark it down, Sunday, May 31st. On that Sunday afternoon, we, alongside 40 churches, mosques, and synagogues, will announce a common agenda built on the foundation of 3 years' worth of relationships and the input of over 3,000 people from across the county. On that day, we won't endorse any political candidates. We won't align ourselves with any one faith or any one party or any private interest. What we will do, however, is declare common cause with our neighbors near and far as we fight for affordable housing for everybody, as we work to support our public schools, and as we work toward living wages for every hardworking person that lives here, that is our neighbor here in this county. What we will do is come together across faith communities and party lines from every tribe, language, people, and nation in order to speak boldly about the kind of world we'd like to live in and the kind of people we would like to be. May 31st is the Feast of Pentecost, the day the Christian church got its start, when people from different lands came together and received the hope and promise of the Christ, a blessing to every nation. I can't tell you that there won't be challenges ahead, my friends, but I can tell you that this is a step on the journey that fills me with hope and great expectation. Won't you come and see what God is up to? Won't you come and see what God might have in store for you and for our neighbors? Take courage. My friends, take courage. Simeon only got to see the Messiah when he was old and gray. The prophet Anna sang with joy as she held the child of the promise when she was 84 years old. There is still time if we will make the time. So stay with us, keep loving, and keep the faith. Amen.